Before I pray, I'd just like to say a couple of words. Please sit down. You know, no matter how much, you know, people try to dramatize what happened 2,000 years ago, they always focus and look at what happened physically there. But what happened physically is nothing compared to what happened in the spirit world. It's enormously more than what anybody can show, prove, and we can understand. Because the Bible says that clearly in many places, and we're going to spend some time on different scriptures that shows not just what happened then, but what are the implications for now. See, we often look back at history and look at what happened 2,000 years ago, losing touch that what happened there is still valid and effective today, just the same as happened then. We had to realize that, and we had to realize that there is a part we play in all that, in responding to what was done by Jesus. Because generally that's what everybody talks about, what he did. And we had to understand that, but there is much more than what he did that comes to the, you know, that we can see. I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, verse 6 says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, whom are come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Now, this is a mystery. A mystery is something that we cannot understand. And the only way for us to understand it is by revelation by the Holy Spirit. It's something that we cannot figure out with our logic. And there are, in this event, more than one mystery. There are many things that we had to just ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes and our ears to be able to receive it, because I believe that we haven't even come close to receive what Jesus did on those days. We always emphasize the fact that we have been forgiven, and that certainly is a big thing, but that's the least of the things that he did for us. But nobody ever talk about the other things, or hardly ever. And if we really want to give honor and, you know, glorify him for what he did, we have to recognize the things that he did for us so that they are not wasted. All the things that he did for us, we have to appreciate. Okay. So, you know, this is a mystery that, you know, speak wisdom of God in a mystery, in a hidden wisdom which God ordained from the before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not crucify the Lord of glory. But it is written, eyes has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. You see, this is the key word the key element that makes all the difference for us. Okay, we need our eyes open and our ears open to be able to hear, but to have that thing to happen, you know, and the only way that is going to happen is because we are loving him. That is what opened the door for that to be manifested, to happen in our life. But doesn't stop there. There is another verse that is critical. But God has revealed them, these things, to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God. So I want to pray that we go to the Word tonight and we open our heart to hear what the Word is saying and to make it ours, because this is what Jesus came for. Not just so that we may be forgiven. That's the step one. There is much more that he wants to do with us in our life. And I believe that at this time, it's critical that we actually move into some maturity so that we get ready for his coming, because his second coming is coming. So I want to just go before the Lord and just Holy Spirit, just ask you that you just give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, because we need that. Because we need your touch. Because you need your presence with us in this place and with each one of us, that we may be able to hear, that we may be able to see, that we may be able to understand, that we may be able to respond what Jesus did for us. He gave his life for us, Lord, and that requires a response from us that is adequate to what he did. So I'm just, call you upon the Holy Spirit, okay, that we may understand how Jesus operated, what Jesus did, who Jesus really was, so that we may make that connection that he wanted to establish and that he prayed for us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. See, this is probably Jesus' death on the cross was the major spiritual event that ever took place, not on earth, in heaven. That's where really things happened. That's where the power was released. You know, there were crucifixions all the time for all the criminals of those days. So, you know, people looking at that would have just said, you know, what's different this from other things? It was different because Jesus was not just one of them, was not even one of us, because Jesus was different from us with one basic difference. We are son of Adams. He was a son of God. We come on earth with a heart propense to sin. He came on earth with a heart that was completely pure. And had no sin in him, and never was any sin in him. Otherwise, his death would have been just the same as the death of anybody else. So he was making it completely on a different level. But we should not, because of that reason, think or make him such that is unreachable or we can, you know, cannot connect with him, or he could not connect with us. He connected with everyone who ministered to. I was able to do better than we can often do ourselves. So, what we have to understand, the first things that we understand, Jesus was not just a person or a man like us. He was a man from heaven. He existed before he came down here, before his body was materialized, before, you know, he came on earth. But, you know, if you read John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So the idea, you know, that he was already there all the time from eternity. And he was God. So what that means? He didn't have a body at that time. He was a spirit, like the Father, like the Holy Spirit. He came on earth and acquired a body like our body, but was not completely like our body because it was not generated normally, was not the son of Adam. He was generated by the Holy Spirit, by virgin birth. Now, I'm not going to go through all the physical stuff because, you know, just generally what people talk about. I'm going to be talking about the spiritual things that are connected with Jesus' life and with our life. And how it should be, how we connect with Jesus at his level. Because that's what he wants. You know, continuing there. Okay. The thing is, you know, that because of his background, because of his fact that he was not like us, he just had a completely different perception of life that we generally have. And this is the step that I believe we need to take, that we need to understand, to be able to really respond to what he did. Okay. Said there, his function from the beginning, before he was, incarnated. In verse 3 says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. You see, there is the word comprehended. Actually, Greek is katalambano. And the word means, you know, they could not fully grasp the light that he was bringing. We had difficulty in perceiving everything, all the truth that Jesus came, the things that he came to make us able to see. That's what light does. Okay, darkness cannot see light, cannot fully comprehend, cannot fully accept, cannot fully understand. The only way, you see, the only way to understand it is by intervention of the Holy Spirit. They give us revelation, but that intervention requires us having a heart open to receive. And the problem with us is the heart that is terribly wicked by nature, until something happened and something changed inside ourselves so that we can start receiving some light. And this is when the Holy Spirit does the work in us to bring us that revelation, that understanding. See, Jesus, what he did was remove the darkness in us so that we can see the light, so that we can understand, so that we can receive. And he did it by what he did. And that was, you know, about, his life and everything else. There are more than 300 prophecies. You know, I'm not going to go into all that. Okay, but I'm going to just mention one of them in Isaiah chapter 53, you know, from verse 4, 5, and 6, in which it says, you know, the, one of the key essence point, the critical point that he did there has to do with the breaking of the darkness. Okay, surely, verse 4, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed, made whole, or whatever you want, delivered, set free. That's the way he did it. He took it on himself. You know, he was wounded, or the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So what he did, and this is the critical thing that we had to understand and receive, okay, that he took our iniquity on his own self, evidently not his spirit like some people teach, on his body. His body that was not divine, was just like a man. He operated completely like a man. He renounced to all the divine attributes to operate in them for the time in which he was operating as Jesus and was doing things by the power of the Holy Spirit working in him. That's what the word says. I'm going to back up all my statements because otherwise here will be for 20 hours. Okay. He was operating like man and operating like we can operate. Because he wanted us to become that way. That was his purpose. But the only way for that to be possible, we had to become, the darkness in us had to be removed. And as if, that means our sin had said to be forgiven. And the only way for the forgiving of sin was, you know, the question of somebody had to die. And he gave his life for us. And he, you know, because he was without sin, the effect of what he did could be applied to everybody in the whole world, not just some people, not just some small things. You know, what happened to him when all the sins of the world came on him was essentially he took them in our place. By taking them in our place, then they were paid for. And there was no anymore anything that had to be paid for. We were forgiven, and the punishment of our sins was taken care of because he took it on himself by his death. Now, we had to understand that. We had to appreciate that. Okay. Now, going back to him, going back on the way, we had to understand the way he did, the way he operated as a man. Because he came just to be an example and helping us to see how to become like he was. The word says here, in verse 14 of 1 John, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, you know, it's interesting because we often hear said that, you know, grace is something we don't deserve. Well, Jesus certainly deserved it because he was without sin. So grace is not something that we don't deserve. Grace is a gift from God that he provides for those, you know, and through Jesus, then we end up deserving grace from God. When we line up with him, we line up with Jesus. It's not for what we did, it's for what he did. Then we deserve grace because he took our place. And he identified himself with us. So when we accept what he did for us, if we continue to go around feeling guilty for the things we did before and the sins we did, we are right, actually what we are doing is deny everything that he did. We should repent about not believing on what he did, if there is anything that we should do. Not go around thinking that the past is still on our shoulder, because that wasn't, Jesus took it on his shoulder. We are not exercising our faith. It works by faith. We have to believe in what he did. That's what enables us to receive it. If we still feel that something is wrong with us, that's absolutely true. Something is wrong with us because we are not exercising our faith in believing that what he did is effective and powerful and able to set us free from the past. Are you still with me? This is something we have to understand because that's the beginning of all the other work that you want to do in us. If we don't accept the effectiveness of Jesus' death for us to set us free, then our unbelief is really the fact that we just despise him. Because we don't believe him. Because, and you know, the fact that there is so much evidence, and the greatest evidence is he was raised from the dead. He overcame death, which is really the end of sin anyway. So he overcame sin. He overcame the sins of the whole world. And we should understand that. We should receive that. And we should feel grateful for what he did, because he came down here and did everything that needed to be done for us to be set free. The thing is, how did he did it? How did he do it? How, you know, this is really the basis for us to understand how he succeeded in doing what he had to do as a man. He simply operated. I just already told you before. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. You see, the word is the basis on which he operated to be able to achieve that result. The word is the word is the truth. He was the word. But when he came here as a man, he went to the word, by the word of God, by the scriptures, and the receiving God speaking to him to be able to be directed in the things that he had to do. He grew up like any child. He had to learn about who he was. And there were all the prophecies, and you knew the scripture very well. The thing is, you know, his heart was completely open to the truth. He had no darkness. So if he had no darkness, you know, the truth could be received by him easily because there was no blockage to the truth to operate. Okay, he was full of grace, which is really the gift of God, the power of God. Actually, the grace is the anointing of God. Is the enablement that God gives us to do the work that he's called us to do. And truth. And the word truth here is aletheia, which actually means the lack of deception, the lack of falsehood. So he was completely free from any deception, any untruth, if you want. And so, you know, that's the basis. He was not defilement, not anything in him that would not enable him not to connect with God. Okay? This is what he came with us to happen, to make it happen in our life. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek for those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things on earth. For you died, and your life is sitting in Christ in God, with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. See, this is the thing that we had to come to understand. This is what actually the way he operated. He operated by the word. That means, you know, he thought, he lived in the word. He lived in the heaven, even when he was down here on earth. He lived in the truth, not on earth. His thoughts were not earthly thoughts, were heavenly thoughts. That's why I call him the heavenly man. He was connected with the Father spiritually, continuously, all the time, because that was the dimension, that was the space, that was the existence in which he continued to have, even down on earth. A continuous connection with the Father. He said, I do nothing in myself unless I do my Father doing it. See, this implies a connection with the Father that was going on all the time. And what, how you do that? Set, you see, Paul, referring to what the way he did, since we are raised with Christ, okay, he raised us up, and we're going to see more about that. For now, you're more concentrating on him, but to see what, the implication for us. Okay, because we have been raised with him, okay? Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting, at the right hand of the God. And set your mind on the things above and not on the things on earth. That's what produces that's the way he walked all the time. That's the way we should learn to walk all the time as well. Because that is what releases the power of God in our life and make us able to do things that otherwise cannot be done. He can do things in God, can do things in us when we start making that connection with him the way Jesus did, because Jesus did nothing else with what we can do. But we couldn't do it on our own, because in us, to start with, there is darkness. But it doesn't need to be that way because of what he did. He died for us so that the darkness can be dispelled and we can have no longer darkness, but our sins are gone and we can be becoming full of grace and truth as well. Or we should, if we are responding, if we are understanding, if we are receiving what he has done for us. See, this is the important part. See, we have a spirit. And our spirit is actually the most important part of us. Our body lasts for a little time and then goes in corruption. Or if we are here at the time when Jesus comes back and may be transformed, into a glorified body. But that is, this body is not us. Not even this mind is us. Because this mind is being created by our physical experiences, our training, our senses. Our mind is our flesh. Our flesh is what we, you know, is not just what we call flesh here, but we know when the Bible talks about flesh, talks about all the way of thinking, all the way of feeling, all the way of wanting, all the way of, you know, judging things that are derived when we are not yet connected with God, and so they are still under the influence of Adam and Satan and all the negative things that come from the initial fall. Are you following me? We don't need anymore to be in that state because Jesus came and made possible for us to be set free. But we had to recognize, understand, and receive what he did. And it starts with the understanding of what he did for us, taking our sins on himself, paying for our sins so that we don't have to pay anymore. And and we have to understand the love of God and respond to that love for us so that we can receive the freedom, believe in what Jesus did for us. That's the critical thing that we have to know. We have to decide to believe. And believe is always associated with faith. That's what faith is. Decide to believe. Faith is a decision we make. Lambano is an active act of taking possession of something. And what we have to take possession of is the fact that Jesus died for us. And we receive that and respond to that. And there has to be the proper response to what Jesus did. It's not that he did, you know, and it's going to apply to us. No, when we respond properly to what Jesus did, then we are going to benefit from what he did. Otherwise, we are not going to experience anything. But when we respond properly, we experience the right now and then. And after that, forever, if we remain in that relationship with him. Okay, and what we are called to actually, you see, make that decision clear in our mind that we believe what Jesus did. And because we believe, we get the benefit of what he did. See, the Bible says, we do not walk by sight, we walk by faith. This is a clear decision that we make. That's what faith is. You take a stand and say, I believe in Jesus. He did that, and from the most moment on, this moment on, I believe that I'm free from my sins. Not because I feel, not because I did anything, but because the Word says. And I'm not going to go through all the scripture to prove all the things I say, because there are much more I have to say that generally is not said. I want to be able to cover some things. You see, at the beginning, Adam, when God created Adam, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 6, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. And man became a living being, or living soul, or whatever you want to call it. The word in Hebrew there, many different interpretations, so I'm not going to make distinction about that at the moment. But what he's saying here, the God breath, that means a part of God. The Spirit of God was moved, you know, was breathed into Adam, and he became alive. He received life. Okay. That was God's spirit before. And when Adam was created, he had the Spirit of God inside him. He was the Son of God because God created him and gave him life. Because God was his Father. Are you following me? Jesus didn't need that because he was God all the time. Okay. We cannot have that either to start with, because we come from Adam, and Adam's spirit died. That means he was separated from God when he fell. So Jesus came to fix the problem so that God breath come into our life. You see, one of the things that takes place, the very moment when we make that decision and our sins are removed, the reason for the death is taken care of. Jesus paid for it. Now what we can have is the life that he had. God breathed life unto us. Our spirit becomes alive. And that means that our spirit is in communion with God's spirit. He's not anymore separated. That means his spirit should be the same as what was happening with Jesus when he was walking on earth. Our mind needs some fixing because we have lots of wrong ideas. Our feelings need to be fixing because we have lots of hurts and damage. You know, other things, you know, our heart, well, we already made a decision, so there has been a change already. But the change that really takes place is in our spirit. God comes in and reestablishes a relationship, a spiritual relationship with us. We are not anymore bound on earth, but we have a place in heaven. We are connected with heaven because we are connected with God. God comes inside us. The Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had in him when he was walking in Galilee. And he came so that we can have it, and he made sure that not only, you know, we understood, but we, you know, realized that that had to take, you know, was taking place, and there were going to be also other additional gifts and manifestation that would take place, because that spirit would produce some charis, some charismatic gifts operating in us that will be supernatural. We are no longer earthly, we are heavenly, as we have accepted Jesus as Lord. We have become connected with God. The Spirit of God is inside us. The Holy Spirit is inside us to operate and to provide for us gifts that so that they are supernatural gifts. We do not need to operate anymore like mere men, the way Paul says. This is what Jesus came for, to prepare his brethren for what he wanted to see. And this is all prophesied before. I cannot cover this. That's the whole Bible. If I would have to read most of the Bible to you, if I would just show all the different things that we should experience today. We should experience communion with God. We should experience communion with Jesus. We should experience communion with the Holy Spirit. We should experience gifts of operation. We should hear the word. God's word should be operating in us powerfully so to manifest the God's glory in us. See, I read before, you know, for our glory. It's not for, you know, it's his glory. Our glory is nothing else than the manifestation of the changes that take place in us because of his operation, his activity in our life. See, simply, we are born of God simply by believing in Jesus. Just as simple. Let me go a step back here. There are so many things that we need to understand, that when we understand, they make all the difference. Even somebody that is not born again, although he's spiritually dead, when they make a heart decision, they have a supernatural power. Because otherwise you couldn't be born again. When you make that decision, you come in contact with the spiritual dimension and with God. And you know, what happens is that then everything changes. The power of God starts manifesting in you in a different way. It should manifest in you. The thing is, it will manifest in you only to the degree that you know that it should manifest in you. If you don't know what you get, you cannot get it. You cannot exercise faith if you don't know what you should believe. This is why we need the Word. That's why Jesus was the Word made flesh. I mean, you know, the flesh of Jesus actually became Word. Because he was full of the Word. And he understood the Word. And he manifested the Word in his life. Well, when we are born believing in Jesus, John 1:12, but as many as believe, receive him again, you know, is lambano. To them, he gave him the right or the power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, to believe what he has done. So really the idea that he's telling us here is that when we make that decision to believe what Jesus did, understand what it is, and believe it with our heart, automatically God is going to breathe life in us. We are going to get connected with God. The Spirit of God is going to come inside us and you start to operate in us the same way as you operated in Jesus. Now, okay, this is by simply making a decision, we are born of God. That's what it says there. You know, we were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Now, born of God, that means, you know, that God, breathed his spirit, created you, a new person, a new being. God is your father. This doesn't happen down here. It's not a physical thing. Cannot be a physical thing. You don't see it, you don't touch it, you don't do. This is a spiritual event. A spiritual event that takes place with the Father. Are you with me yet? Okay. So we receive the life of God. The life of God is inside us and is there for a purpose. It's there so that we have to understand, you know, when we have this life of God inside us, this unbelievable gift that is given to us, not because we did something that we really deserve it, but because Jesus did what he did. Okay? So we come into, you know, we have to come now into respond to this, what took place. How do we respond to that? What do we do about that? Okay? Well, one of the things that happened, okay, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says very clearly, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we may become the righteousness of God in him. So one of the things that we are is the righteousness of God. That means we are in good standing with God. We are not, you know, God has nothing against us anymore. We are, can go before God without fear. We are not like in the Old Testament anymore. We are in good standing with him. We are accepted. And there are many scripture that shows, you know, what we are in Christ, and I cannot go into all that. I'm trying to stress just something to see how we can move from one way of thinking ourselves as just people that had a religious experience, okay? Instead, into something that a new being created by God, who is their Father, We have a purpose in our life to fulfill, and a function that He expects us to have. Okay. So now we are, you know, we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and see what happens. Okay. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that means, you know, they've been accepted. Or, you know, he is a new creation. Okay. That means, you know, that we are just a new type of being that we weren't before. We are completely a new, God created us. It's not what we were before. That thing, that person that was there before is dead and gone. And we're going to see more about this dead component, but we have to understand that. That person is dead. You have to consider it dead by faith, in faith, through faith. Without giving power, because you can give power to some dead things too, unfortunately. Okay, let me continue here. Okay. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away, all things have become new. So all things. I mean, evidently, your body isn't changed. Evidently, you still sometimes do some things that are funny and some thinking that is really wrong. All right? So that's not changed. That's a new creation, not the new creation. You know, the new creation is the new spirit inside you that is completely new, that is the same as clean as Jesus' spirit. You cannot be in communion with God if you are a sinner, because you are going to be enemy to God, naturally. So, you know, you have to see which side you are going to take. What are you going to believe? Are you walking by faith, believing what the Word says? Because that's what faith is. Faith is believing the Word. Okay? That's the sort of faith, the Word that we have, the Bible, is nothing else than the Word that God gave to prophets and people that received it from Him, that recorded it there for us so that we benefit from it. And not given to private interpretation, is given for a purpose to guide us and to direct us so that we don't need to get the first hand all the time, because sometimes, you know, we find it difficult to operate that way, especially at the beginning. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. So, you know, if anyone is become, all things are passed away. You want to think, remember the stuff of the past? Every time that your past come up to you, says, well, that's gone, that's finished. I just reject that. I have nothing to do with that. This is dead and gone. It's not me anymore. I am in connection with God, and God is working in His fellowship with me, and God directs my life and empowers my life with the Spirit that is in me. Now, there are too many scriptures to bring them all up, so I'm going to have to be selective on some of the things that I'm going to say tonight. Okay. But really, okay, the mind, your emotions, your feeling, your heart, okay, may start to change, but really they need to be trained. They need to, see, because before they've been trained by the flesh, by your senses. Now you can't depend on your senses anymore. You have to depend on the Word, the way Jesus did. See, Jesus was not guided by the senses like man. He was guided by the Word. He was the Word made flesh. So one of the things we had to learn to do is to go to the Word, to allow the Word to change the way we think, the way we feel, the way we judge things, so that our thinking becomes line up with God's thinking, so that our feeling lines up with God's feeling, so that our judgment lines up with God's judgment. What is good for God is good for us. What is bad for God is bad for us. But if you don't have the Word inside you, you are never going to be able to make those choices and take those steps because, you know, each thing that you're going to change within yourself is a new decision that you make that releases the power of God inside you and is not anymore constrained into your spirit. It can come through your body and operate there. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body, will operate through you and manifest through you the way manifested through Jesus, because he had no blockage. Okay. So, we had to do something about that. We had to recognize, okay, that we have been changed, that we are a new creation, that God is connected with us, that we have fellowship with him, that we are one with him because he is, you know, you cannot, when you are with him, you are with him. And we are with Jesus. That's what Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, if you remember. That he, as he is with the Father, and the Father is with him, and we are with him, we are with the Father, and so we are all in unity in heavenly places. We don't need to wait to go to heaven to walk that way. It's available now. The same way as was available for Jesus. If you wait forever, you may never get there. Because you are still allowing your flesh to hold the back. And what your flesh is going to do is limit God's power to work and share and empower you and to do the things that you should be doing. You see, we had to shift our way of thinking from the things that we see, the things that we feel, the things that according to our flesh, okay, and think about heavenly things, not earthly things. Set your mind on things above, not below. That's the way Jesus operated all the time. And we can too, if the Word is alive in us. Now, that means this is a change of perspective. Okay. One of the reasons why I'm giving this to you, there is this scripture here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him this way no longer. See, we had to start seeing Jesus not according to the flesh. You know, lots of people were talking, you know, some time ago about finding the, you know, the real Jesus or the historical Jesus, but completely immaterial. That's not the issue. We should find the spiritual Jesus. His spirit is what he came to make available to us a different life. Are you following me? Now, okay. Therefore, we regard no one according to the spirit, according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. Okay, so the regard, really what it means, you know, the word there is eido, which means to see, to look, to perceive, to see that, you know, perceive the way you see that particular the way Jesus looked. So you had to look at Jesus, not just in the physical, but you had to see what was happening spiritually to him, how he was operating in the spirit. And we had to learn not just to imitate Jesus in the things he did physically, but to imitate the way he operated in a connection with the Father. That's the part that we had to follow him. That's what makes all the difference. Okay. Now, one of the things that's going to be taking place as we shift our eyes from the physical or from the flesh to the spiritual dimension, we are going to start to see things in the spiritual world. Isn't that what Jesus said in John chapter 3? Unless you are born again, you cannot enter, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay, so take the other side of the coin. If you are born again, you should see spiritual things. If you are born again and you don't see spiritual things, something is wrong with your experience. Hello? See, people don't expect anything. They don't walk by faith. They just go by the experience, by the past that they had, the shortcomings and the limitation before they were born again, before they were spirit-filled. We had to realize that when we come into that relationship with God and we become sons of God and children of God, you know, something different has to operate. We had to start operating in a different way. The way we relate to the world around us has to change. There has to be a shift in us in which we start operating the way Jesus did, that we start seeing things only the way God says, where we start looking at the Word, having the Word to give us the direction that we need. We start walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. That's what it is. Those who are walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, they are the Son of God. Are you still there? Okay, that's important to understand because, you know, that's what Jesus came for. Not to get us to keep us to remain, you know, babies that don't understand anything spiritually, but to get to the place in which we can start working like children of God. We have to start seeing ourselves that way. Not because we are any special, but because of what? Because he is special. And according to the faith that we have in him, we are going to be manifesting what God wants. See, we acquire the ability to see and operate in the spiritual dimension and start getting the result that Jesus got. That's why he said, you know, if you believe in me, the work that I do, you shall do also, even greater work than this should I do, because I go to my Father. And you're going to, you know, have all these changes taking place inside you in your spirit that is going to be, if the changes take place inside you, you are going to look different. You are going to act different. You are going to think different. Now, I'm going to... Okay, I want to say a couple of more things here. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, if one died for all, then all died." You see, the old us died. He died for all. So what we have to consider is the old us is dead, with all the different characteristics and quirks and stuff like that and problems that they had. Okay. Verse 15 says, "And if he died for all, then all those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." See, that's the perspective that we had to acquire as a result of being born again and filled with the Spirit of God, being children of God. And we should stop living for ourselves. We should not be the center of our life anymore, but it should be the center of our life. And that's the critical step for us to be able to move in this spiritual dimension. Otherwise, we are not going to see what he said we should experience. People say, well, why doesn't nothing happen? You pray, nothing happen. Well, you know, what are you living for? What your purpose? What your connection? What are you connected with? The world around you, your circumstances, your problems, the way the world goes, the news and the stuff like that. That is being with the world. What we need to do instead is start moving our eyes and look and set our mind on things above instead of things below. Start looking at things from the way Jesus thought. Get the word inside us so that he guides us, you know, in the way we think, the way we act, the way we react, the way our heart judges things. And then we are going to be naturally supernatural. Because it's not us, it's him in us. Okay. So, I think that, you know, I cover a lot of area, and there is much more than what I'm saying. There are so many scriptures pointing out what God expects for us to experience. It's not a question of a plain religion. You know, religion cannot do any of these things. Is our relationship with the living God that make us living spirit, operating and, you know, functioning the way Jesus operated on earth. That's what he wants us to become. And, you know, that's what we should aim to do and to develop into. Now, I believe that Jesus is coming back soon, and he's coming to a church that is like that, people that are like that. Okay, that's his expectation, you know, a church without spot and wrinkle. That means, you know, not going around with the past, but this, you know, recreated being, able to walk with him, able to walk with God, doing only what they see the Father doing, being children of God, growing into the stature and the maturity that we can have when you start allowing him to change us. So I'm going to close in prayer. See, he died. Not so that we can go around and say, well, now I'm forgiven, you know, and you keep doing your own thing. No, he died so that you can start having a life that is a spiritual life. That you start living in a dimension that is available to everybody, not to some special people. See, the special people things of the past. Jesus died and is dealing with everybody the same. He's not... has no preferences, is not going to, it's just the way you operate, the way you function, if you let the word work in you, that's what you're going to experience and see. Healing is not something that you can get and work for it. No, healing is natural to receive. Jesus was never sick. He healed people. If you walk like Jesus, you're going to heal people instead of, you know, being sick. If you walk that way, you're going to have spiritual strength inside yourself to deal with anything that comes around, like Jesus did. They were wanting to throw him down the cliff. He walked through them. You know, when he got caught to be crucified, he gave himself to them. Because that, again, was a decision that we made consciously. He wasn't a victim of the Roman Empire or the Pharisees. He gave himself for the purpose that the Father had prepared for him. What he suffered on Gethsemane wasn't because he was afraid to die or because he was afraid to be crucified. He was, hated the fact that he had to be separated temporarily from the Father. And he couldn't have that fellowship with him. In fact, you know, Isaiah says, you know, he was taken to the slaughter and he did not open his mouth. The only thing he said on the cross, "My Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" Because at that moment, the sin of the world came upon him. So let's pray. Let's pray that we may get revelation. Revelation on how to shift our way of walking so that we don't walk by sight or by the flesh or by our thinking anymore, but we walk by faith. And faith is nothing else than walking by the word. You see what the word says, and you do the word, because the word is God's thoughts. So let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for what you sent Jesus to do for us. Thank you, Lord, that we can, Lord, understand it to a degree, to a certain extent. Lord, that we may understand more. May we get revelation, a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we may know what is the glory that you are planned for us to experience. And what are the riches of your glory in us. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that your word is powerful and effective, Lord. And as we put our trust in Jesus, our trust in you, Father, our trust in the word, Lord, we can see, Lord, things that are no longer normal and natural, but they are supernatural because the word is the supernatural power of God manifested. And we, Lord, open ourselves up to your truth, through your grace, through your power, to your goodness, to your love, and respond to you with our love. We love you because you first loved us, because you did everything that you needed to be done. And Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished." And we believe that it is finished. And it's ours today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.